Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I'm joined by the legendary singer-songwriter, JP Cooper. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
It's good to be here. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm hoping there's not too many knocks on the door. You might need to take that out. Don't know what the deal is, whether it's live or not, but it's Halloween, isn't it? So there might be kids coming around, but the house is quiet at the minute, so we'll see.
I didn't even think of that, actually. Yeah. So to be honest, I start each one of my shows with something called the Weekly Waffle. And It's funny that we've obviously been recording this on Halloween, but I've got a bit of a... I mean, I love Halloween, but the thing that has been winding me up recently is kind of like, it's Halloween snobs. Like, okay. This is our one chance of every year to kind of dress up as something that we might not normally dress up as. But you have those people like, no, not having it. And it's like, I'm all for everyone having their own opinion, this, that, and the other. But if I want to dress up as Voldemort on my Saturday night, I will dress up as Voldemort.
There you go. No, I think in the UK, like, so it's actually my birthday tomorrow. So it's my birthday the day after Halloween. So as a kid, I always got so excited about this time of year, so excited about Halloween. And in the UK, we've always been so rubbish at doing it. We're just not that. I feel like we're getting a little bit better, but I've always said to myself, when I have kids, I need to take them out to the States for a proper Halloween.
So
I've got two boys, and at some point we're going to do it when they're both old enough to sort of appreciate it.
Have you dressed up this year?
But that'll be fun.
Did you dress up this year?
No, sadly not. Simply because everyone's been a bit under the weather.
Oh, no.
So my youngest, he's only 18 months. He just went, he went to some little playgroup today and came back in like a pillowcase with a little ghost face thing on it. So he managed to have a bit of a good time.
Honestly, but genuinely worried about what you were going to say then. Like, he came back in a pillowcase. I was like, oh.
No. Yeah, it was actually quite a good idea. So they cut a little thing at the top, cut some arms at the side, put the head through it, and paint the face, and then a little ghost. It's kind of cute.
They're very impressive nowadays. Can you remember, I don't know how old you are, but like when I was a kid, like, the best we got were like some like plastic fingers in a bin bag.
Bin bag, that's it. Them witches' fingers and them teeth that give you ulcers.
Like, cut to pieces inside my mouth. But
rock hard plastic. Yeah.
At least I got an apple and a Freddo.
That's it. I think they used to give you like a little bit of money, maybe 50p or something if you were lucky sometimes. Most people didn't. They didn't, they didn't really hand out sweets, or they weren't ready, so they might give you 50p. And I can remember after that, we'd have Halloween, and then we'd have the penny for the guy, and that was even worse. Yeah. No one was getting involved with that. I was just trying to squeeze a bit of money out of the neighbours, but...
I mean, times are hard, Jake. No one was having exactly it. What I'm doing after this.
Mate. Let's not even get into that. That's an absolute mess. Now everyone's prices have gone up for everything. I said to my wife, I need to really get my head down and start writing some songs, because the last few years has been between COVID and all that. I'm like, gosh, I need to get to work.
You've just released it. You've got the new album out.
Never stop. I mean, that's been finished. It feels like that's been finished for so long. Because obviously it was delayed and delayed and delayed, and we finally put it out. It kind of was put out in a bit of a vacuum, really, because things were just starting to open up. So, because they were in the middle of this tour at the minute, we're going out trying to push it. But it's an interesting one. I'm kind of ready to just sort of move into the next thing now. So as soon as I finish this tour, I'm getting straight into writing the next record, which I can't wait to get cracking with. It's going to be good.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Mm. Before we launch into that, there's one thing that I'm going to do this awkward, like, compliment thing. Now, I hate this, so I'm sorry if this kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. But I need to thank you, because there is a certain song that you have that really got me through a tough time. And I'm not too sure, obviously, how much of the backstory you kind of know, but the podcast started from a real painful experience of mine where I nearly lost my mom to an operation gone wrong. She's still here. She's an incredibly strong, resilient woman. She's now in a neurological care home.
Wow.
And it was a tough time, but I went to Bali on holiday just because I wanted a complete change of scenery, just something brand new. And it was around the time when, in fact, I saw Jonas Blue when I was out there DJing on some, I don't even know where we were, some beach, and Perfect Strangers. Even saying that, I can't even see that. But it honestly, that song soundtracked that holiday for me. And every time when I'm feeling a little bit shit, or, you know, like, oh, not feeling this, that song picks me right back up. So
amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, mate, that's so beautiful. It's funny, you know, because there's some songs that, you know, you put a lot of thought into and a lot of heart and a lot of, you know, and you can get really deep and go really deep in the lyrics. And that one was a song that it was just written as just this fun little thing. I wasn't even supposed to be singing it, so I didn't really.
Oh, wow.
And for a while I was like, I didn't know how I felt about the song, because I was kind of, I guess it was a bit of my sort of artist ego that was like, you know, it's a bit this tropical house thing. And actually, that song's taught me so much how to not take everything so seriously, how to drop that ego and to just be grateful. Because the amount of time I've gone and I've played festivals, and that song has opened up so many doors for me. And I've gone and I never really understood dance music. And I did that song and I ended up playing at all these dance festivals and seeing all these people having an amazing time to it. And it's incredible, these, you know, these little songs and these little ideas that we cook up and we put out into the world. And we never have any idea of how it affects people. So when there's something like that that I always felt was a bit throwaway, whenever I hear stories like that, I'm like, do you know what? It's so much bigger than what we think we are.
Yeah.
It's, you know, different things speak to different people at different moments of life in different ways. And I love that. And that's why I always still play it in my own set. You know, we always do a version of it, because it's reached so many people. And I don't know whether it was the summer that it came out, but... That summer, there were so many people that were like, that just reminds me of that summer. And what a privilege to be able to be a part of creating those memories. It's amazing. Love stories. Yeah, love stories like that.
But this is why I'm so like, it's mad how life does this. Because it's like, if you told me back then that when I was going through all that tough time, then this, obviously hearing this song, that's now kind of become like a bit of a pick-me-up for me. To now I'm sat here waffling with the guy who made the song. It's honestly, it blows my mind. But speaking of that, then, does it ever get overwhelming? Like, because obviously with the pandemic taking a huge part of like touring and you know, all that kind of way, like, before you step out on stage, do you ever get that kind of like, do you get nervous, like butterflies, like what's going through your head before you get out there?
100%. I have to do a lot of work to perform. Like, I'm not a natural performer. Like, I've kind of And I keep trying to stop using the word perform, because that means that you have to be something other than yourself. And for me, I'm not really this big ostentatious showman. I sing and I write songs, and I've had to kind of learn to be a sort of natural introvert in a sort of extrovert's world, really.
Yeah.
So I still really, really struggle when it comes to touring. I have to do so much like mental work and mental prep. And to be honest with me, I struggle with anxiety. So, you know, sometimes in the past I've had to take pills. Mm-hmm. I'm so meticulous with how I prepare for a tour, how I prepare for a show, because it isn't normal to me. Like, it really isn't. Yeah. And I've been doing it for years. I think when I was younger, I found it easier. I had that fearlessness of youth. And the older I get, the more, I don't know what it is, and the more of a perfectionist I seem to be coming, and the more I beat myself up, the more I just want to make sure that everyone gets the best of me. I never want to be anything less than 100%. And to be honest, we're human. It's impossible to always be 100%. But I get all those feelings. I have to do so much work to get myself to do it. So, and then when I get on stage, usually I'm quite calm. And if I'm not, I kind of hide a little bit. You can tell the shows when I've been really comfortable and the shows when I'm not, because I just kind of close up a little bit. You know, I hide behind the mic stand a bit. And but there has to be, I'm trying to learn to be honest in that and in those emotions and in those feelings. Because actually there's been a few times that I've sort of opened up about it, and I think people have really resonated with that. It's an interesting relationship that I have with my job.
I love conversations like this, especially when it comes to having like a music guest on, because music, listening to, obviously I can't sing, I can't play an instrument, I can't do anything fancy like that, but I rely on music so much to kind of, as a kind of coping mechanism.
Yeah.
It's kind of a question I always ask, and I feel like I already know the answer to this, but like, I imagine music is a huge outlet for you. Is it a safe space? Like, because I imagine obviously some of the lyrics to your songs are very kind of vulnerable. Mm. So do you have to kind of put yourself in a space to be able to produce that, or is it just whatever you're feeling?
I think growing up, it kind of came naturally to me to express myself through creating something. Yeah. So my dad is an artist. He didn't have any sort of commercial, success with it or anything like that. But him and my mum met at art school, and they dreamed of sort of opening up an art studio or something together. I don't know. When we were kids, they were both working as art teachers. And then my mum died when I was 11 months old of breast cancer. So my dad had to raise five of us by himself. Throughout the process of that, he used his art and his faith to kind of bring himself through it. So I grew up watching the process of that. So to me, that was just what people did. It was kind of, you know, you make something. And because all of my family were painters or artists in some kind of way, whenever I tried to do it, I felt so crap at it because they were all really good. I was like, what's my thing? And then I came across music and I started playing and making music with friends. I always loved writing. And that just became it. So very, very quickly, that became my way of figuring things out and my release. Yeah. And it wasn't really a conscious thing. It was just something that I did. And then when it becomes a job, it kind of flipped. It was like the one thing that I used to run to when I was in place of fear or anxiety or stress or heartache became the thing that made me anxious and the thing that made me scared. Not so much writing, but more the performing and things like that. So it's been this weird relationship that I've had to kind of dance with, I guess, and figure out how to manage it. And I'm still doing that now. I'm doing a lot better. Yeah. I had a bit of a wobble around the first album just because of the workload. There was so much going on. Yeah. It was all of a sudden, everything was different. Now I'm in a much sort of healthier place with it. And I think I've got enough stuff from the past as far as things to work through that I don't really need to kind of get myself into a place. You know, I'm kind of just playing with it now.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I recently started taking photographs, and I kind of liked, what I love about taking pictures is it teaches you to search for beauty wherever you are. You're constantly looking for something special. And I found that in my songwriting as well. It's searching for beauty in sort of simple moments, and just exploring that. And I think it's very easy, you know, if we constantly focus on problems or negative things, you know, people talk about social media, comments on posts, you know, there might be 100 good posts, good comments, and then you focus on the one that says like something negative. I think trying to get into that mindset of focusing on the positives and looking for beauty and looking for the good stuff is what I'm doing now. And I'm trying to sort of teach my mind to work that way instead of the other way. So
to be fair, I can judge it by the smile on your face when you're kind of articulating that. I imagine it's quite clearly working.
Yeah, it feels like that. It really does. And I think, you know, the whole COVID thing actually gave me an opportunity to sort of sit back and kind of question whether, is this making me happy, you know?
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion, I was like, do you know what? It really isn't. But we had loads of time to figure out, okay, well, what do I need to do differently? So now I'm taking those steps and although it's sometimes scary because, you know, often when it comes to creating commercial work, sometimes if you're trying to follow the market or the algorithm, that's going to work out better, you know, it's easier. But actually I realized that was the stuff that wasn't making me happy.
Yeah.
So now there's this added kind of fear of like, is anyone going to care about it? But at the same time, it's more of that excited fear rather than that I want the ground to open up and swallow me fear. So I can work with that.
The thing is, and I had Sophie Alex Bextor on the show a few weeks ago, and she was saying something very similar to what you were saying, that there comes a time when, yes, you can kind of follow the crowd and you're not being yourself, but, and you put out those songs and yes, they might do well, but they don't feel authentic to you. And I meant, obviously you were saying it about like Perfect Strangers, but then she was saying something very similar again with the whole, like, there's the songs or certain albums that she's put out that she's literally like ripped up the rule book and been like, no, this is what the music I want to kind of make. This is me. It's those songs that resonate so much more than the one that kind of everyone's kind of telling you to do.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, do you know what it is? I think everybody, especially artists who've been doing it for a while and they've been exploring within themselves in the way that they create, you know what you do best.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might be able to do multiple different types of things, but I know what I do best. And I'm in a place where I'm like, I'd much rather really, really focus on that and nail that and do it in the way that I can, that nobody else does, than trying to do things that lots of people can do and lots of people like to buy and lots of people stream. And I think that's it. Like, you know, that's why, you know, often I write a lot of songs, and I'm more than happy to sit down and write, you know, straight up commercial pop songs or commercial dance songs. But I think I've just got to a point where I'm like, I don't necessarily want to always sing them.
Yeah.
So I can enjoy the process. But when it comes to kind of me wanting to say, this is what I'm about, and when I'm gone, people can read these words and understand where I'm at and where my mind is and where my heart is. And I think that's it. And I think, you know, the word ego, you know, it can be seen as a negative, but there are positives in there as well. And it's like that little voice that guides you, and it tells you where to go. And sometimes you have to tell it to kind of wind its neck in a little bit.
Yeah.
You need to allow yourself to be challenged. But I think that relationship with the ego is definitely something that that I'm really interested in now, and kind of embracing it enough so that it can sort of guide me to my best self.
Yeah.
Without turning me into like some kind of annoying diva or something. it's that balance. Yeah. Yeah.
Aiden Cooper again.
Yeah.
Thermostat's not in the right temperature.
The day.
Did a lot of that change when you became a dad? Did you notice like there was a shift in not necessarily just like the music, but in life for you?
Well, I became a dad before any of the music stuff happened. So,
oh, wow. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, so my eldest son's 10. Yeah, so I've got a 10-year-old and I've got an 18-month-old. So there's a big gap.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I actually signed my first record deal when my eldest son was 2. So, and I'd gone from kind of working in bars and doing little gigs on the side, you know, for 50 quid here or there. And then it was still a grind. It wasn't like I signed a deal and then all of a sudden I was, you know, it was a good few years before we did sort of Perfect Strangers and September Song and things, the radio started playing me. And, but yeah, what it changed for me was my drive and my time management. I'm still rubbish at managing my time, to be honest. That's the only, the thing with being a creative or being self-employed in a way, you have to manage your own time. So when I'm on the road, it's cool. You know, you get up, you know what time you need to be on the bus, you know what time you need to be at sound check, you know how much time you got to eat, and everything's taken care of. But then when I come home and I'm like, okay, well, I've got a month and I'm just doing writing sessions or I'm just writing at home.
Yeah.
It's that, how do you make the most of that time? And one of the things that I realize, and I think a lot of people realize when they have kids, is where does the time go? You know, what the amount of time I wasted just procrastinating and messing around and living the musician lifestyle, but not really creating anything.
Yeah.
Did that for years. And then it just changes the focus, you know, and the decisions that you make as well. You know, if I'm going to be away from home, it has to be worth it. I don't want to just go and be arsing about pretending to be some kind of special person. Do you know what I mean? It's no, we're here to work. I want to get the job done and I want to come home and I want to have a great experience. Because if I'm away from home, it has to be worth it.
Yeah.
So, it definitely changes things. And then this time around, it's beautiful because when my first son was born, I was broke. I was living in a shared house. I was working in a bar. You know, the music was, it wasn't like everybody was rushing to sign me or to work with me. I was kind of doing it real grassroots. You know, more and more gigs, people coming to my shows, but it wasn't that many. And it was a nerve-wracking time, you know, just like, what am I going to do, you know? Whereas now with this son, it's different. You know, we have our own house and you know, a more, you know, much better home living situation. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a bit of money in my pocket. Like I say, I don't know what the next 5 years, next 10 years is going to bring. So I'm always wanting to keep working. I'm not in that place where it's like I can just stop working. Well, you know?
I hope it means more albums.
100%. And, you know, regardless, you know, I'd always be doing that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Anyway, because I love it. I mean, you know, I signed when I was 30. And I didn't make a penny before that. So I had to love it because I would have, you know, and I've been doing it since I was a teenager. So, you know, I had to love it. And I still do. But it's so nice going out because there's songs that I wrote about that time with my first son. And now I'm going out playing them now with another boy who's the same age and being able to kind of appreciate them from this part of my life. It's going to be interesting the next 10 years when, you know, how's it going to be when he's like a young man and I'm still going out and singing them songs. It's amazing. I'm sure they'll speak to me differently at different points in my life.
Do you know what? There's one thing that obviously, thank you for sharing it, but there's one thing there and there's a lot of people, obviously my main kind of audience is obviously like 25 to like 35 kind of like year old like males. And it's like, I feel like we're in this weird stage where there was a lot of pressure on men at the moment. Like, you need to kind of be this guy, you need to show up, you need to have a career. And the fact that I didn't know what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do career wise, or I feel like I didn't have a purpose until everything happened with my mom. I turned 30, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I had to stop. And the fact that I've just heard you say, like, you know, you didn't sign your first deal until like you were 30. You're like, you know what? I hope if anyone doesn't take anything away from this, I hope it's that regardless of what age you are, like, you can, you can't give up. Like, you've got to keep going with stuff that, like, that's your purpose.
100%. And I think it's funny. I think nowadays that everything is, like, instant gratification, you know, people you get it from social media, you get it from everything, even your fitness apps that people use, like those Peloton things, and it's like there's milestones and there's personal best. And when we were growing up, you go out for a run and, you know, you see if you can do it a bit faster than last week, but that was about it. There's not this instant high fives and all that kind of stuff. Whereas now I think this generation is a lot more like, I need this instant feedback. So if I'm a singer or I'm a musician and I put a video of me singing online and it doesn't get this many likes, and I'm going to feel rubbish about myself. And I think I was really lucky in that respect, because the only people I cared about was like, oh, do my mates think it's any good, you know? And then that kind of grew to like my community around me. And so it was really based on that. So it was more looking within yourself and seeing how you can progress and how much you can get better. And I think now there's so many people who they expect things to happen overnight, and they get so focused on whether everybody else thinks you're growing rather than the way you feel like you're growing. And that was it. That was the reason why I stuck it out for so long without making a penny or without having any breaks, was because I was seeing progression in myself. So as long as I was seeing that, it didn't really matter. You know, it was there was growth and there was development, and that was, and I got joy from that. And it didn't really matter if anybody else said, this is really good or not. I mean, it helps. It always helps.
It comes back to that saying, doesn't it? It's like the people that mind don't matter, and the people who matter don't mind.
Exactly. And it's, you know, I was listening to this fella, I think on Instagram or something, that popped up on my feed, and he was talking about, like, everybody is mostly thinking, most of the people are worried about what everybody else is thinking about them.
Yeah.
So why do you care so much about what people are thinking about you? Because they don't care. What, do you know what I mean? It's,
it blows my mind.
It's like, most of these people aren't thinking about you
as much as you're thinking about
exactly. them. And there's something so liberating in that. Just, you know, just going about your day. And it's funny, you know, I think this is the thing. We can get so in our heads and in our phones and in our, you know, and this is one of the things that I've started trying to do as part of my way of, you know, keeping myself calm and getting into my body more. Is really little things, like when I make myself a coffee in the morning, before I drink it, I pour that espresso and I breathe it in and just have that moment where I'm like, I'm smelling my coffee. I'm here, I'm now, and I'm just smelling my coffee. I'm not worrying about my email. I'm not worrying about, you know, this that I need to sort out. I'm just smelling my coffee. And, you know, we've just moved out to, I was in London up until January, and we just moved out to Hampshire. So we're on the edge of the woods, and, you know, I can go out and just walk around the woods. And, you know, every day this year, it's been something new for me, you know, whether it's the leaves turning color or the leaves first coming out or the mushrooms coming out a few weeks back. And it's like trying to reconnect with like what's in front of you rather than what's up here and what's in your phone. And as that's really helped me massively. And obviously not everybody has access to those green spaces. I think a lot of people's found them, you know, locally to them during COVID. It was like everyone seemed to rush to the parks and just for that connection.
What's climbing mountains as well?
Crazy. It's so cool. But I think for people to be reminded that we really need that. And because we couldn't just go out to the stores or buy all of these things or go out and eat at these places, we were like, well, actually, what is the thing that my body's craving? And that was these green spaces and nature. And that sort of really awoken the child within me, actually. And I realized that I've been sort of ignoring him for ages. I was like, I need to get out of the city. I spent my whole life growing up in the city or in, you know, satellite towns of cities. I was like, I need to get out. Just give me some quiet, some green space. You know, I've got two boys as well, so it's perfect.
Wow, well, I imagine the washing machine's going to be in full swing.
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, 100%. It's funny because, yeah, my wife and I, like, we quite, it's like my boys, when they play, and especially my little one, when he eats, he's throwing it everywhere. Yeah. She's very relaxed with him making a complete mess. And I'm a bit more like, oh my God, what are you doing? And actually, I've learned to just watch it and be like, it's fine. We're going to have to clean it up afterwards. But just to see them explain, it's the same when we go out. It's like, just get filthy, you know? That's the way it should be. It's not enough of that going on.
No, I completely agree. And I think there is, it's that kind of, especially when it comes to like the whole mental health conversation, like I think people don't really appreciate the whole nature side of things, like getting out, going for the fresh air, like something as simple as like smelling your coffee in the morning before you check your phone can have the biggest impact on your day. It's something so simple, and it's, I could literally rant on about that all day.
Tiny little things. Every day. Tiny little, there's little shifts in things you do. And I think, but again, coming back to what you were saying about people in their 20s and stuff, there's too much information on how to do life well. Yeah. You know, like, and I think that's the other thing, you know, actually, if you want to get up and look at your phone for half an hour, don't beat yourself up about that. You know, there's this kind of, this, everybody should be waking up at 5 a.m. and killing the day and working out and stuff. I've got it in my head, you know, I should be doing more. And I think this is the problem. Like, there's this constant pressure to do more, be more, achieve more. And don't get me wrong, I subscribe to that. You know, I've listened to the, you know, the Tony Robbins bits and bobs and all of that stuff. And I've at moments in my life when I've needed a bit of a kick up the arse, it's inspired me. But I think it's just too much. You're constantly seeing everybody killing it. And most of the time, it's bullshit. You know,
it's true.
Most people still go home and feel crap about themselves because they're watching the same stuff.
Exactly. They'll be sat down the same way, whether you've got millions of pounds in the bank, whether you've got nothing in the bank. Everyone's sat around comparing themselves to others. Exactly. And I'm not going to throw another thing out there, but I say it quite a lot, but comparison is the thief of joy. The more you're comparing yourself and constantly focusing on what you don't have, you're missing out on those little moments and what you actually do have.
Yeah.
And I think it was the pandemic and turning 30 that I was like, I felt so lost, but this is the kind of stuff and these kind of conversations that make me realize, well, actually, do you know what? Like, if it puts a smile on my face, that's what more could I ask for?
Yeah. That's it. Simple things.
Speaking of putting smiles on the face, the new album. It's beautiful.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
I want to hear, because obviously, she.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about, like, the inspiration. Tell me.
So, to be honest with you, it was a huge collection of songs, and I was trying to find this red thread that ran through them. I was like, cause my second album, after the first album, I got sent out in all these different writing rooms and I had all these different songs and all these different sounds. And I was like, where am I in this, in the mix of all of this? And one of the things that I kind of realized was that most of the biggest lessons that have been delivered to me in my life, or the biggest opportunities for growth, have been delivered by women. Whether that's from losing my mum when I was a child, to being raised with four sisters, to falling in love, falling out of love, having a child with somebody, that relationship falling apart, but needing to navigate that because there's a child involved, and getting to a point now where we have a great relationship, to meeting my wife, to, you know, it really hit home to me that, like, wow, all of the struggles and all of the development and all of the growth and all of the self, I guess, kind of judging is the wrong word, but kind of, you know, that the looking at myself and trying to be better.
Yeah.
It was always women, even whether it was a harsh lesson or it was tough love. That was always the way it seemed to be. They've been my sort of angels guiding me.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just the tip of the hat to that, you know. So a lot of songs. So the song "She" itself was about that, you know. It's bringing me through this life where I was. There's been so many times in my life where a woman has made me feel like a boy, and it's crap, but it was necessary, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, and I'm sure there will be more times. I hope those days are gone, but. Many times when you realize like you still got work to do at being a better partner and a better dad and a better brother and a better son, and still constantly focusing on that. So it's, you know, and yeah, down the line, it'll be interesting to see what they are and how I react to them. But yeah, this record was kind of a tip of the hat to that. And when we pulled the songs in, I wanted it to touch on different moments in my life. Yeah. So that was kind of the overall umbrella.
Do you know what? I have so much more respect for you now than what I did, because I didn't know that. And for someone who was raised by women, whether it was my mom, my nan, my auntie, my incredible, well, obviously my little sister didn't raise me, but my mom, we're very close.
Yeah.
And this is happening already. I've got so bad. This is what happens. I can get so goosebumps.
It's good. But it's so good.
I was going to throw another compliment towards you, especially now I know obviously what the album stands for, is that my little sister recently moved to Milan. So this is the longest we've kind of been apart and stuff like that. But I sent her a song that from the album, from If the World Should Ever Stop.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of lyrics in there that I was like, this is kind of how I feel. Don't really know how to express it, but this is how I feel. And it's,
love it.
If the world should ever stop and you feel like giving up, then my bags are packed. Yeah, you know, I got your back. And it just like with everything that was going on at that moment. Yeah. So again, thank you for
beautiful.
That.
No, it's so good. It feeds me these stories. And this is what's beautiful about being out on the road and touring at the minute is, you know, I speak to people after the shows and they tell me which parts of song affected them. And it really, it informs me in how to move forward and what's important. So when I'm writing, I'm thinking of these things rather than thinking about the songs that have the crazy numbers or the, you know, the biggest, you know, algorithm pleasers. It's the ones that really move people, I think, are the most important. And I recently, with a song I had that was off my first album called The Only Reason, but it was written years and years and years ago. It didn't really have a big moment on the record, you know, it didn't do loads of numbers, but it started getting love in South Africa. It started seeing it trending. And so I did a little video of it and I put it up, of just an acoustic version. And all of these people came out of the woodwork saying, you know, this was the song that really made me fall in love with what you do. This was the song that made me listen to every other one of your other songs. Amazing. It's like, actually, those moments are just as important as the big hit singles, if not more so, because I feel like a lot of the big singles, they're kind of a passive audience, you know, they get spread around, they're perfect for radio, so they get lots and lots and lots of plays. But it's these songs that just touch on something that many people can resonate with, that send them down that rabbit hole.
They soundtrack.
Exactly.
This is what I love about, especially when I have conversations like this, it's like, they're like the people's crutch. They're like that's what got them through that period of time. And now, especially now when they look back, it is that JP Cooper song. It's regardless of who it is, it's like it's those moments that I think, imagine as an artist, like that surely makes it all worth it.
That's it. That's the payday, you know. In a way, it's we've got to keep the lights on, but it's like when I wasn't making any money, those were the moments. Like I always felt my superpower as an artist or as a writer, even, you know, before I had the nerve to call myself an artist. I always felt like I had a superpower that was touching a nerve of people. And I'd go out to these little open mic nights in Manchester, I'd put my guitar on my backpack, I'd get on my push bike and I'd cycle.
Yeah.
I'd go and I'd have 15 minutes, I'd do three songs. And all I wanted to do was make one person cry. You know, if it was just, I'll see someone, because it was like, I just wanted people to have a moment where they can let go for a second.
Yeah.
And it happened, not every night, but it happened, and I see it all the time at the shows. And it's, I always felt like I had this special, this is what I mean about really
he was
digging
down
but, you know, really digging down into that thing that is a thing that you've got. And I think, you know, you talk about the vulnerability, you talk about all that, and I've always been fine with that. And I think that's something that I need to embrace more and sharing that. It's just so nice to be informed in that way of the things that are working and that are touching those nerves and reminding myself how important those songs are.
No, honestly, you're a legend. I'm genuinely like a huge fan. I'm so grateful I actually get to sit down and do this. Especially from such obviously awful experience. But there's a few last questions that I ask each one of my guests when I have them on. And being obviously the singer-songwriter that you are, I don't know where this is going to go, but does there need to be a song playing to get you on the dance floor? And if so, what does that song need to be?
Okay. You know what the funniest thing is that come to my head? because I was never I was always that kid at school that wanted to dance but was too shy, and then it'd be the last 10 minutes of the night and I'd go and dance. Just and I wish I would have danced earlier. But the one thing that always gave me the opportunity to dance was Saturday Night by Wigfield. Because you just join in. Yeah. You know, everybody would be doing the same thing. So it was like, well, I'm in now. So that was the first, I could have came up with a cool song or...
No,
you know,
but I have so much more respect for you now.
That came into my head. That was the soundtrack of so many school discos and,
as soon as you heard that, dee-dee-da-da-da.
Exactly.
Straight on the dance floor.
Now's my moment.
I waited for 2 hours for this.
Yeah. Incredible. I can't remember the last time I heard that song. I don't know why it just pops into my head. I've not heard it for years.
Did you used to slide on your knees?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was full-on hyperactive, little lunatic, but kind of weirdly shy at the same time.
Love that. On the flip side of that, what song makes you cry? What tugs on the heartstrings?
There's been a few songs, More Than You'll Ever Know by Donny Hathaway, a few songs by Aretha. There's an album called I think it's called The Delta Meets Detroit. It's called Aretha's Blues, and so singing all these blues songs. And I've had a couple of moments with that after probably a couple of glasses of wine.
Yeah. That's when it comes out.
Yeah. But they're more kind of few and far between now. I don't know whether my ears are so tired all the time. I find myself listening to a lot more film scores and instrumental stuff and things like that. It's been a while actually since a song's made me cry. I often will be on the verge of tears and when I'm writing my own stuff sometimes at moments, because you hit on something and that's it. It's been a while since somebody else's song has done that. I need that. I think I deserve for someone's song to make me cry. I'm going to sort of try and...
We can send you a sad playlist.
I'll tell you what, the mad one is though, when you're on planes, apparently the altitude, I don't know what it is, it makes you more emotional. So I've been audibly bawling my eyes out at films on planes.
I found out the hard way.
Certain films you just can't do.
It's the same with alcohol.
Apparently. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this until I was on a flight. I don't even know where I was flying to. I think it was at California or somewhere. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have a film. I'm excited. I'm going to America for the first time. I literally was drunk, had a hangover, and the awkward, I'll have everything. all in a matter of hours.
Yeah, you've got to be careful with that. But films and booze on planes, dangerous. Dangerous. I was watching the people who, whenever The Greatest Showman's on there, I can see where they're at in the film. She's crying, he's crying.
You know what's going on. That hairy lady, as soon as she's on there.
They're all, honestly, going down.
You have been an absolute pleasure to waffle with. I've generally had a really, not that I was expecting anything less. There's no pressure. But I've really enjoyed this. Felt like I've sat in a pub with my mate. So best of luck.
That's what I wanted to be.
with the tour, obviously, and more importantly, happy birthday.
Yeah, appreciate that. So, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me for a waffle.
Yeah, pleasure. Hope to see you again.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.